Marvelicious Toys is brought to you in part by Big Bad Toy Store, where you can pre-order the newest waves of Hasbro Marvel Universe, Marvel Legends, and Marvel Movie action figures. With foreign toys, high-end statues, prop replicas, hot toys, and more, Big Bad Toy Store is the first stop for Marvel collectors. Plus, check out their other great toys and collectibles, and use their pile of loot to save on shipping. Find it all at BigBadToyStore.com. Welcome to Marvelicious Toys, hosted by Justin and his amazing friends, Arnie and Marjorie. We bring you news and reviews of Marvel toys, statues, and more, because not all Marvel collections can be bagged and boarded. They're not just toys, they're Marvelicious.
Hello and welcome to issue 85 of Marvelicious Toys. I'm Marjorie.
I'm Arnie.
And this is Justin.
And we have a big show for you this week. It is so jam-packed with news. We've got new figures at Toys R Us. We've got more figures showing up online for the Avengers. We've got some really funky Thor statues. But let's get into it immediately with
the Spectacular Store Report.
And there's actually things to talk about in the store report this time around, so I don't know what that means. When it rains, it pours, I guess. Now, Arnie, do you have save searches on eBay for any of these Marvel Legend variants?
Yes, I may or may not wake up every morning with an email from eBay that says Marvel Legends Blade.
Has anything pinged up on those yet?
Yeah, absolutely. That old one that comes with the chopper.
So no, is what you're saying.
Well, I did get kind of suckered into buying the Blade and Deacon Frost movie figures. They were called Marvel Legends, like...
ish. Adjacent.
And Whistler, too.
Oh, Jesus.
But I have not found what you're getting at, which is the variant for Punisher from last year's Marvel Legends wave. The only ping I got on that came from listener Mitch Halleck, who sent me some snapshots from the previews catalog that I need to get my hands on, because it showed Marvel Legends shipping, and I kid you not, it had Blade in their assortment.
Hey, they had Blade in the figure case last year at Comic-Con, so it exists. It's just a matter of if it's going to show up. And, you know, I've been starting to question whether any of these variants are going to show up. But apparently over in the UK, they're starting to show up at retail. People have been reporting that they found the white version of Doctor Doom, the red Deadpool, and the Blade figure.
Marjorie, we have to go to the UK.
Okay.
All right. We will go in July right after Comic-Con.
Okay.
And I'll head home and find them at my Walmart.
Exactly.
That'll be a long distance cool. That'll be an over the pond cooling. So that's good news that at least they are starting to hit the distribution channels. If not on this side of the pond yet, they exist and they're making their way out there. So, all right. That's one set of variants out there. Now only what, two more series need them?
Yeah. Two more. Maybe we'll get them. I'm hoping. Well, you talk about the variants being hard to find. A lot of people can't even find the regular ones, Justin. I mean, I've just gotten so complacent because I order from online, but I see on our Facebook page all the time, people still can't find Archangel or Red She-Hulk or any of those. They're finally showing up at Disney stores.
Nice. And at a decent price, too, you know? I mean, $16.99 isn't too bad for the Disney store.
It's cheaper than my Toys R Us by about $5.
Wow, your Toys R Us is overpriced. I think mine's still at $19.99, which is ridiculous. Yep, I don't have a Disney store anymore. We used to, and now it's some weird, like, swords and sorcery type of store.
Yeah, they have kind of closed, haven't they?
Ours closed, too.
Yeah.
We have to go to St. Louis for one, but if you're looking for these and you don't want to pay a fortune, head to a Disney store or hit up one of our forum members who may have a Disney store and be willing to ship to you.
Speaking of Toys R Us, though, I was in there the other day, and while I didn't find any new Legends, I did see another shipment of the Angel Wave, which is a good sign for some people who have not had a chance to get Angel and Nova and Puck. But On the other side of the aisle, I was surprised to see some new Wolverine stuff that I completely forgot was coming out. Like, I put this stuff completely out of my head for some reason.
I think I know the reason. You articulation snob.
Hey, I'm an articulation and sculpt snob, so it was pretty easy to turn my nose up at these.
I saw Barrett posted these at his Toys R Us as well, which made me rush to my Toys R Us, even though they are crazy overpriced at $10 a figure.
Honestly.
These are the low articulation that are supposed to be $5 or $6 a figure, like those cheapo Iron Man 3 figures. So $10 a figure, the sacrifice I would have made for this show. But thank God all they had were roleplay items like Wolverine snap-out claws and a Wolverine claw that you just make a fist around and it looks like claws are coming from between your fingers.
That one looked kind of cool. I thought about that one for a minute.
I would actually like it just as a kitchen implement to, like, slice turkey.
Yeah, but they've re-released that big hard plastic Wolverine glove that's been out for a few different movie releases. It was out for the Wolverine movie and I think an X-Men version at 1.2. So that's been out there before, but these are a nice little hard foam, almost like a brass knuckle type of thing.
Only less cool if you're actually in a fight.
Come at me, bro. All
right. I didn't find these. Now, I went back to our Toy Fair coverage to remind myself about these, because I'll be honest, I kind of put them out of my mind, too. I've been looking far more at the Avengers Assemble figures and things like that than the Wolverine figures. There's only 4 in the entire line, right? It's kind of like the Iron Man 3 line. They're really just giving us Silver Samurai, 2 Wolverines, and a ninja.
Yeah. And I tell you what, I've seen all 4 of these in hand now. I spent some time looking at them. And I tell you what, as a collector, there's just absolutely no reason to even look at these because, like you said, the price point of $10 is overpriced and all 4 of these characters can be bought from previous lines for way cheaper and with way more articulation. You know, even that Silver Samurai you can get in a comic pack with a better sculpt. And if you need a ninja that bad, just go over to the G.I. Joe line. They have a ninja that looks pretty similar to that.
And these are all comic styled, right? I mean, they're not movie styled. It's not the movie Silver Samurai or the Hugh Jackman Logan.
They're not overly comic style, you know? I mean, yeah, I don't know that that's supposed to be Hugh Jackman in the jeans and tank top, but they feel less realistic than the Wolverine line before. So they're just kind of in the realm of Wolverine.
Wolverine-esque.
Here's my problem is, all right, I want to see them in person, and I want to find them at $6, not $10. But with only being 4, part of the collector in me is drawing me to them because one of the first Marvel lines I collected, what got me in, was the Wolverine line. When I started buying Iron Man 2 figures, the Wolverine line was still sitting just a couple pegs over it. I'm like, yeah, I could use a Logan. Yeah, I could use a Cyclops. Yeah, I could use that Deadpool that looks nothing like Deadpool.
You're talking about the movie version?
Yeah.
With the bald head and the...
single sword out of the arm.
Yeah.
So to see a Wolverine tie-in movie line is kind of nostalgic. By the same token, I'm not the kind of person who reposes my figures that often. I just want to get them looking good in one spot, and if they can hold one pose, that's all they really need to do, by and large. Sure, it's great if I can sit here and put it on my desk and repose it every 10 days, but usually I'll put it in a diorama of some sort or a setup of some sort and leave it be.
Okay. I tell you what, I think a lot of that is going to go out of your mind the minute you see these. Because the first thing you're going to notice is how crappy the cards are. They're on smaller cards and thinner bubbles like those Spider-Man and Iron Man cheap 5 points of articulation ones are as well. And I tell you what, I spent $10 and took one for the team. I bought the Silver Samurai out of sheer curiosity, I guess. And the figure I'm holding in my hands feels less quality than a Happy Meal toy.
Ouch.
Yeah. Paint is sloppy. The plastic they used is subpar. I mean, the sculpt is okay. I'm not going to ding the sculpt too terribly much, but the paint apps just don't do it any justice whatsoever. It's almost like a customizer starter kit. It's like, hey, we started painting this for you. Why don't you go ahead and finish it up on your own? because his helmet comes off for some reason or another to reveal a bald guy under there. And on the back of his helmet, he has like this tuft of hair. And I don't know if that's supposed to be his hair or somebody else's hair, but it's the same gray as the helmet. You know, little details like that where they could have made that black or brown or something like that. But these just, man, I don't know. I didn't pick up any of those cheap Iron Man or Spider-Man figures, but these feel even cheaper than those look.
Ah, that is painful. And what I keep going back to when you're saying all this is those crappy ass Family Dollar figures we hunted down.
Mm-hmm.
And how I just thought they were so terrible. Those pack-in figures that got carded on those cheap-ass cards that we laughed at and didn't realize that it was just a harbinger of things to come and that that would be entire toy lines in the future. Yeah, you may be talking me out of it.
I tell you what, if you can find them for $5 each, you know, that's a $20 investment. These are definitely not four figures worth $40.
Keep talking to him, Justin. Come on. Keep going.
You know what? Even if these were pack-in figures, I think I'd be even upset at that. You know, if these were supposed to come with a motorcycle or a Silver Samurai Jeep, I would be disappointed in the pack-in figure.
Wow. That is terrible. But I have to ask, you know, I saw people on our Facebook page just railing against these. And yes, they are not what we are used to as collectors. They are not the figures that got me into Marvel collecting. They are nowhere near close if they're like those figures we saw before. But one person said something that said, "You Marvel crybabies, come over to DC from Mattel and you'll see what pain really is."
only in the smaller scale over there. Their 6-inch figures aren't horrible.
Neither are ours.
Oh, very true. It's the scale that's dying on us. Is that what we're slow to realize?
I mean, we're going to be getting Wolverine Legends figures the way we got the Iron Man 3 Legends figures. And as we said in just our last podcast, those rocked. So it's these 3 3/4-inch figures that are just going. And I really do blame Mattel, because didn't they launch the first missile in this no articulation war with like the Green Lantern line? We were talking about it on this show because we wanted to customize some good Deadpools.
Yeah, it's almost like they gave up the war and then Hasbro's like, oh, cool, they surrendered. We can stop with articulation too. Because there was a point where DC was trying to up their articulation. They added knees and swivel ankles and wrists and elbows and all this good articulation. And then it all went away with the Green Lantern line. And that's when Hasbro decided, okay, we can do that too.
I almost see it a different way. I like your war analogy, but I think it became this escalation where they would have more and more casualties and they were bleeding money into this war. And finally, yes, Mattel went the Parisian way and went, we give up. But they did it in a smart way. They're like, we're going to stop the war. Instead, we're going to take you over through subterfuge, because they came out with that Green Lantern line and it seems like a give up. It seems like they've waved the white flag, but they had those so cheap and you'd see these Green Lantern figures at $5 or $6 and look down the peg and there's the Marvel Universe that were encroaching upon $11 at some stores.
Well, the lesson that they should have taken away from that is now that Mattel is no longer making the 3 3/4-inch figures, somebody else has come along and made them an exclusive, and they're doing pretty well with them. They get $15 a piece because they put them in 2-packs. Remember we picked up 2-packs of a Green Lantern and Kilowog at last year's Comic-Con?
Yep, and they had some Green Lantern figures at C2E2 this year, too.
Yep, that line has continued. They've been doing tie-ins with the Injustice video game and some cool characters here and there. And if that's what Hasbro needs to do for certain select characters, I'll be more than happy to do that instead of wading through all of these low-articulated, crappy 3 3/4-inch figures that nobody wants.
I just do think, you say it's the scale that's giving up on us. I think that they're retreating back to the old market time policies that we grew up in. These figures are for young children.
Just not the prices of our youth. I think that's the biggest problem. If these were $4 or $5, I would have very little to say about them. It's the double whammy of less articulation, less sculpt, and more money.
But they should be less money. It's a Toys R Us screw up.
Oh, these are supposed to MSRP lower than that?
Yeah, they're supposed to be the $5 or $6.
Okay. So I'm going to double kick myself in the ass for paying 10 bucks for this piece of samurai. If I had one thing to say about it that's positive, it's a really neat looking sword that he comes with. You know how they usually like, they usually dull the end of those swords in 3 3/4 inch, you know, to kind of make it rounded. This one's almost kind of pointy, like a cocktail sword. It should have a maraschino cherry on it. But outside of that, not a whole lot of good things to say about it. Ooh, Wolverine comes with a blue swoosh of slash.
From Guns N' Roses?
I'm looking at the package, and it says, clip-on slash trail.
I think a slash trail is what he would leave after too much drinking the night before on his way to the bathroom.
Oh, my God. A slash trail. Oh, that's... I've just got a picture of Slash's boxers thrown over a hotel chair inside out. Oh, gross. And the back of the cards don't even show you the rest of the line. They're trying to sell you on the role play stuff. It shows the mask and the two claw toys that we talked about.
Yeah, which are very, very easy pass. And I've never gotten into the role play stuff. I can see kids enjoying it, but it's no lightsaber.
Overall, the branding is kind of a nice refreshment on the shelves, though. You know, I very quickly picked out all the new things. The yellow and orange and blue contrast on the shelves really caught my eye.
Yeah, when I went in, that was very easy to spot, even though it was just the roleplay toys and masks and things. It was easy for me to find the Wolverine section at Toys R Us. And yeah, I think I will hold off. These figures... they will go on cheap clearance, and I'm learning to play a longer game. The cooler is cooling no more because I still don't have that stupid Iron Man car, which means I am one assembler short from a collection. And I think I can hold off on these Wolverine figures till at least I find them at the more reasonable $5.99 or lower price. But Toys R Us is always more expensive than other places. And even if they meant to price these at $9.99, they'll be cheaper elsewhere. But I still wonder, we know Toys R Us, I don't know how they function as a business, but they screw up pricing a lot. We talked about how they were charging $30 for Marvel Legends because they got them confused with a box set.
Yeah, I can very easily see that this is a screw up on the price, and they'll probably take theirs down to $6.99 while they'll be $5.99 or $4.99 everywhere else.
Hold your receipt, because if they price change in 30 days, I think you get a refund. Or you may just want to take it back.
This isn't working as advertised.
Well, speaking of Hasbro figures, in...
Sales to Astonish!
Yet another line of action figures, the Avengers Assemble action figures.
Yeah, this is the line that they blindsided us and kind of surprised us with Toy Fair. And I have to kind of refresh my own memory here. There's two different Avengers lines coming out. There's more of a cartoony style and then a more kind of realistic yet comic-based style coming out too, right?
I believe they're doing like the Spider-Man. They're going to do the 3 3/4 inch figures, and then they're going to do like the 5 or 6 inch figures that are a lot more kiddie.
All right. But this is the line that has a cool looking Ultimates Hawkeye and a new Hulk, if I remember those pictures that we were looking at.
Yeah. And looking at the only pre-release photos they have, because what we were looking at back then were obviously very early prototypes. They're showing a Captain America and a Red Skull. Captain America, hey, do you have a Captain America figure yet?
I'd have to go back and look, but I'm not sure.
And he comes with a silly action feature shield, just like the movie Caps did. But that Red Skull looks pretty freaking cool with his coat and hat.
Yeah, I remember he caught our eye immediately at Toy Fair. We were both drooling over his cool-looking overcoat and comic-y red head.
And he comes with a silly gun, but again, that's what the Sentinel box of parts is for.
Yep, and I think it's the same gun that the movie Red Skull came with. It looks very familiar. Yeah, that Captain America looks like it might be a repaint from the Captain America line as well. And I won't complain too much about Red Skull not having ankles because they gave him a cool overcoat. Mark my words.
I'm going to hold you to that.
If there's as much detail in his face and the little emblem on his cap is there, I think I can overlook ankle articulation here.
The sculpts are looking good. I think your amendment, what you said earlier, Justin, how you're a articulation snob and a sculpt snob, I think I'm there with you. if it has good articulation, I can take a bad aesthetic. If it has a great aesthetic, I can take bad articulation. If it's just complete shite, then that's a problem. And here, I think we're getting less articulation, but it looks like good sculpts. It looks like a continuation of the Avengers movie line, which I know let you down a little bit in the articulation department, but I really enjoyed from the sculpts and paint.
Yeah, I think that's what collecting is going to take us to. You know, if a figure can't hit on two or three of your main things, cost, articulation, and sculpt, then it's not going to be worth it. It's just up to the individual collector whether or not you're willing to bend on any of those. And I'm more than willing to bend over for that Red Skull.
I'm looking at our Toy Fair coverage, and what it is they've got the Avengers Assemble line in three scales. There's the 12-inch, what they're calling the Titan figures, or what I call the soap bottles, based on Marjorie's experience in the toy aisle. Then there's the 6-inch Mighty Battler series, and that's similar to what we've been getting in all these movie lines, where they're going to have the funky poses and everything. But then we have a lot of pictures, if you head to our gallery, of this 3-inch line, and there's that awesome Hulk, a kick-ass leader figure, just this great, veiny-headed green leader. There is the Ultimate Hawkeye in this line, a Falcon, a Black Widow that isn't movie-based, but she's got this great hair and, like, this sweeping pose.
Yeah, and see, there is that Avengers Ultimate Hawkeye-looking figure that I was talking about.
Yeah.
I'm pretty excited for this line, the more I remember looking back on it.
It was easy to forget, but with so many lines of figures coming out this year from all the different multimedia. But as far as multimedia tie-ins go, we've seen Iron Man, we've seen Wolverine. God help me, this cartoon tie-in may be the best new figure line from Hasbro this year.
Yeah, obviously they have to cut production somewhere, because there's Thor coming out later this summer as well, right? So we're going to start seeing those on shelves with these new Avengers, which I would hope these new Avengers just kind of take the place of the current Avengers movie line that's hanging around every store I've been in.
I think that is the plan. The Avengers line sold well enough to get it a reprieve. I just hope these don't go the way of Iron Man the Armored Avenger, but since there's a cartoon to support, it probably won't.
Meaning they never come out?
Yeah, but because I'm paranoid, and because they are an advertiser of the show, I've ordered my set of six from Big Bad Toy Store.
Not bad thinking.
It's not a case. It's one of each figure, so I'll be guaranteed a nice set of six. And these figures, yeah, looking at the pictures, these are very cool. The first wave is Captain America, Red Skull, Hulk, Falcon, Black Widow, and Iron Man.
And I'm trying to go through our old issue there and find a picture of the Iron Man. It's the Tornado Blade Iron Man. Yeah, see, that Hulk has some decent articulation. He's got ankles and knees and thighs. Oh, my. Exciting.
And remember, when you shop online for your Marvel goods, please head to the Marvelicious Toys homepage and use our links. In some cases, it supports the show with a commission. And in other cases, it just lets the sponsors know that you listen to our show and hear us talking about them, and so they continue to advertise with us. I used that link myself this past week. Justin, you ever been sitting around on a Saturday night and you're home earlier than you expected, you're channel flipping, you might have had a beer or two, and the next thing you know, you're ordering things online?
Maybe. I'm not sure where this is going.
It's going to the stars, as Saturday night, I ordered the Sideshow Galactus maquette.
Oh, brother.
I figured this was coming because he kept showing it to me, and I go, yeah, it's really cool, it's Galactus. And he kept showing it to me, making me watch that video.
That was an awesome video. That's the video that sold me, with the light-up features. Here's the problem. It's $800. I mean, that is a problem.
That's a little bit of a problem.
Wait a second. I don't think I caught the price when you were telling me about this.
Yeah, you did. We talked about it.
We did? Okay.
But I wasn't willing to spend $800. We saw this at Comic-Con last year, if you remember. It was big. Mm-hmm. It was detailed. I didn't know it lit up.
And he's got that little Silver Surfer that floats off of his hand.
And that's interchangeable with another piece. But I buy quite a bit at Sideshow. Their customer service is tremendous. They have always taken care of me with broken stuff. Every so often I have to squeal a little to get help, but they help me. And I buy all my hot toys through them. And I buy all the Marvel hot toys. And damn you, Ed 209, I will not buy you. Even if you are diecast. But I had over $400 in Sideshow rewards saved up. I'd never used them. I didn't even know what they were for about a year. I kept getting reward statements. I'm like, huh, reward, whatever.
They're like frequent flyer miles.
Yeah. They're frequent spender miles is what they are. And I don't know why they bother with a point system. It's like buying stuff in rubles. I have no idea how the points to dollar conversion works. But they told me how much I had in money. And it's not different based on the item. It's not like they have some stale item that's not selling and they're going to let me use more of my rewards or less of my rewards. There are certain rewards eligible items and certain rewards ineligible items. But I went and checked and Galactus was a rewards eligible item. Probably because he's shipping in about a month. So he's probably getting loaded onto a boat and they're like, oh crap, we're going to have a lot of Galactus. Rewards him. And so for about 380, I was down with Galactus.
That's a really cool piece to get for sub $400.
And my thinking with that 400 was I never used it on a hot toy or something, even when it was eligible, because I'm like, I consider it mad money. I wanted it for something foolish, something I wouldn't buy for myself. And let's face it, I'll buy myself a hot toy. And I was looking at some of the big items, like we talked about the life-sized Iron Man. Are you really going to notice if you're spending $8,000, whether you're 400 up or down?
Eh.
When you get into the single digits of percentages, it ceases to matter. I say 5% on that life-sized Iron Man worth my Sideshow rewards. And the cost to benefit there is horrible because you get no rewards on that. So you'd actually be not getting rewards on $7,500 by saving 400.
It's just math at that point.
But when you have an item and you're going to get 60% off and it takes it down from a price you don't want to pay to a price you're happy to pay, that's a bargain.
Yeah, when you can cut the price in half or better, I think you did it right. That's a very good way of looking at it. It's like somebody said, hey, I'll buy you something, whatever you want, up to $500. And you said, well, what if I throw in $400 myself and get something bigger?
Exactly. So, and I know Marjorie has Galactus as one of her favorite characters that greatly influenced the buying decision.
Yeah, I do love Galactus.
And despite how she's phrasing it right here on the show, maybe she's a little tired, she was pretty excited over Galactus. Her reaction to the video and her talking about it was what set me over the edge.
I'm sorry. Look, I have two freaking statues that I've influenced the purchase of. One directly buying for you as a gift, even though it's my one of my favorite characters, and then the Galactus, so.
Yes, we'll put Galactus and MODOK next to each other, so that
okay.
We can see each other.
Okay, okay. But mine pale in comparison to yours.
I have nothing as big as Galactus.
Not Colossus?
Galactus is over 3 feet tall.
Oh.
We have built a special space for him in my new room.
He's a big one.
And again, if you want to buy a Galactus, we really would appreciate it if you had, for any time you shop at Sideshow, click the link from the Marvelicious Toy homepage. It really helps support our show. If you enjoy the show, we don't ask you for money. We just ask you to click a link when you're spending money already.
Couldn't be easier.
For example, we just signed up for a new one, Superhero Stuff. Now, when you shop at Superhero Stuff, if you use our link, it supports our show. And I really just did that because Marjorie alone will be supporting the show.
I love t-shirts. It's not a secret. I have so many that I haven't even worn them all. And perhaps it's a problem. I don't.
We don't have problems in this house of quantity.
Okay.
There's no problems if you have too many t-shirts or too many premium format figures. It's all good.
I have a couple new Marvel-related t-shirts that I'm going to debut at Comic-Con this year.
Ooh, what have you got?
Well, one, it doesn't have anything to do with superhero stuff, but you know those artists who draw something and then you can go click on the link and they have a little store where they'll put it on a t-shirt or a bag or a mug or whatever for you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, somebody drew Tobias in his Fantastic Four Thing costume.
Oh!
From Arrested Development Season 4, for those who didn't watch it.
And so I've got that coming on a dark blue t-shirt here in the next week or so.
Well, that's kind of what I was getting at, is when you go to Comic-Con, you better not think you're sporting the colors by heading to Target and buying that Captain America t-shirt. Because you know how embarrassing it is when you go to a formal event and there's someone wearing the same dress you are?
I have that problem every weekend.
Yeah, I hear you. The curse of being too fashionable. But that's what happens at Comic-Con when you wear one of those Target and Walmart Marvel shirts. Now, don't get me wrong. I buy them. They're nice, cheap shirts. But if you want to be a little bit more unique and have a conversation starter at Comic-Con, head to Superhero Stuff. You'll find something that most people haven't seen. I am picking up an adamantium shirt.
Nice.
It is like a periodic table for the elements for adamantium, AD, and of course, claw marks through it. It's element 181 on the periodic table.
That one's pretty cool. The Steve Rogers emblem one is catching my eye a little bit. That's kind
of
neat.
They've got a great collection of X-Men shirts, too.
And for the ladies like Marjorie, they have a lot of women's cut shirts.
They do, and it's so great because men's shirts, the sleeves always like go down to my elbows and they're too boxy. So I love the girl shirts, and I have a lot from Superhero Stuff, actually. One of the best ones I've got is a pink Spider-Man shirt you got me, Arnie.
That is a very cute one.
Mm-hmm.
You never wear the Venom shirt I got you.
I think I did once. Again, like I said, I have so many, I can't keep up.
I like the ones that are a little bit subtle, that don't have the big characters on them. This comes from a phobia. We were in a mall one time, and I was wearing a Marvel Heroes t-shirt that I think I did get at, like, JCPenney or Walmart. And little kids were staring at me, and I wondered why, and then realized they were all looking at my shirt with all its bright colors and Hulk and Iron Man.
You had the four faces.
No, I had, like, eight of them.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, it was a huge Marvel shirt. And then I went to a gas station. The guy went, "You like Marvel?" No, why do you ask? And it was a conversation piece. So now I like the ones that are like the just the X or just the S.H.I.E.L.D. logo or just the Deadpool circle from the Partridge Family.
Well, I don't want to add to our collection. However, I feel that I have to place an order, which is handy right now because they have a Pop Art Spider-Man dog hoodie.
Ooh.
From my little doggy Stanley.
There's plenty of unique stuff here, though, and your point is very well taken. You don't want to be the people at Comic-Con, like you said, like last few years, I don't know how many Millennium Falcon red t-shirt schematics I've seen.
The one from Target? Yes.
Yep.
If I had a dime for every time I saw that, I'd probably have a gazillion dollars.
Or at least pay for Galactus.
Yes, true.
So if you're looking for something unique, this is the place to go. They've got a huge selection. And a whole, like, and like you said, everybody has their own taste in t-shirts. I, too, am more like the graphic, kind of emblematic type of simple shirts. But they have really graphic, you know, big prints that wrap around the side type of shirts as well.
And for you guys, they have underwear. There's Captain America boxer briefs.
I usually don't wear boxer briefs.
Bad idea having me look at this tonight because I already found like four shirts I want.
Well, please use our affiliate link. What I have to say about Superhero Stuff, though, hands down, and I'm not just saying this because of the affiliate link, their shirts are quality. A lot of the shirts I get from them are actually made by We Love Fine, and they just resell them. Some of the shirts that I talked about, like the Xavier School one, I get it. It's got the We Love Fine logo in it. And We Love Fine makes the softest freaking t-shirts.
They do, and they don't shrink. You wash them, and they hold up so well.
And while they're not an affiliate, they don't offer an affiliate program, if you're looking for a cool shirt, check out We Love Fine. They just put up a whole bunch of S.H.I.E.L.D. shirts that came out of a contest to become an Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. shirt. And, like, they're a lot based on the upcoming Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV series. You can see classic Nick Fury comic book covers, only with Coulson instead of Fury. There's another Element shirt, a VB for Vibranium, and some cool, cool, cool messenger bags. The one I like, it's pretty subtle. It has kind of a Captain America old-style shield and just says level 7.
Nice. I think I found our team shirt for this year. We're all going to have to get one of these.
Which one?
Loki-licious.
Oh. Where did you find that? Superhero Stuff?
Yeah.
I want that. That's cute.
The official Marvelicious t-shirt of Comic-Con 2013. But it's a cool-looking shirt. Just classic comic art. Damn it, they don't have it in medium.
Yeah, that one, they only have large and up. That's kind of strange. I think they just sell out. I think they have them in all sizes, and they just sell out. You're too hip with your Loki-licious.
Damn it.
San Diego Comic-Con, less than 1 month away.
Funko's released some pictures of the exclusives of the 57 bobbleheads that are going to be there. That's just outrageous and crazy.
What's funny is your head is bobbling as you talk about it. You're like... That's outrageous and crazy.
You know they can't see you, Arnie.
Oh, yeah. Well, three more Marvel ones have been announced. In addition, we talked last week about the removable mask Iron Man. Now there is a Spider-Man, a Wolverine, and a Doctor Doom.
But they've gone back to the 50s as they're in black and white.
Which is funny, as all these characters were created in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, so this is... I don't know how I feel about the black and white ones. You're probably getting them anyway, so the point is moot.
I was just thinking that as... I don't know how I feel about the black and white ones, but I'm getting them anyway, so the point is moot.
Really? See, I know you very well, don't I?
Listen, I'm still chasing down a San Diego Comic-Con Loki, which I still can't find for under $160. So I'm not going to pass on a Comic-Con exclusive I'm on the fence about. I can always sell it later if I go, I don't want it. A Funko in the hand is worth two on the eBay. Now, I mentioned earlier the Diamond Select catalog, and I picked one of those up. My comic guy gave it to me free because I think I buy so much. It had a price tag on it. I don't know if most comic stores charge or not. They wanted $4.50 according to the cover. He just let me have it. Because Mitch Halleck had sent me some pictures, so I wanted to see what was in there. And there were some new items in there that I had never even heard of before. I had to find out about these. One was called a Marvel Labbit.
Who's a what now?
It's a Labbit.
Like a rabbit with an L.
I don't get it, because what's wrong with just rabbit?
You can't trademark rabbit, but you can trademark Labbit? Maybe they're one of those people who their kid calls it a Labbit and they thought it was cute. Kind of like
not.
Paschetti or something like that. Well, what it says is, featuring some of the wickedest Marvel icons, the Marvel Labbit boasts a variety of dangerous, dominating, and devouring designs. Alliteration sells toys. Wolverine Labbit is engineered to kill and destined to do good. This beer-drinking, cigar-smoking, not if Joe Quesada has anything to do with it, 7-inch vinyl Labbit is finished with a nasty attitude and an adamantium-colored claw. Venom Labbit is pure 7-inch vinyl evil. It's as black as death with spider eyes, fangs, and psychotic tongue. So I'm like, what the hell are these? And I was going to take one for the team. I really want to see a vinyl Labbit, especially that Wolverine who looks like he's regurgitating his claw.
Yeah, I just puzzled by the Wolverine. Why is it in its mouth? Why not just have little bunny claws?
Is there a reason you skipped that last second to last sentence there in the description? Only the butthole can resist the venom.
There must be some sort of translation problem with this.
There was a reason. I was trying to keep this a classy show. Before we just talk about monkey fighting.
Oh, so these are basically vinyl, like, mini mugs, micro mugs, shaped like bunnies, I guess.
Yeah, only not micro mugs. These are 7 inches.
So Mighty Mugs.
Yeah. And because of my enjoyment of Mighty Mugs and pop vinyls, the fact that these were vinyl is what kind of drew me to them. And I was ready to just place an order and do a review. And then I found out they're $50 a Labbit and said, screw that.
Even I said, I am not buying that. That's ridiculous.
Unless they're like super limited runs of like 100 pieces each, there's no reason for them to be $50 each.
That's what my comic seller had in his price guide. He normally cuts me a deal, but the reason he's able to do that is when he orders by the case, and he told me there was no way he was going to get stuck sitting on a case of Labbits. Can't say I blame him.
They are kind of cute, and I can see him hitting a soft spot for vinyl collectors, but geez, they're weird, to say the least.
I really would hope that the Wolverine's claw is removable so that he's not constantly spewing.
It's just some sort of weird BDSM rabbit X-Men thing.
I kind of like the Venom, and I can't say that if I saw him at Comic-Con, I might not even plunk down 50, but I'm not willing to do 50 sight unseen, which is what I would have done 25 sight unseen. That's what I kind of figured 7-inch vinyl. I was equating them to Mighty Mugs and things. Mighty Mugs are about 5 inches, and they were 15 to 20. Pop vinyls are about 4 inches. They're 10 to 15. I'm thinking 7 inches, 20, 25, maybe 30. 50 scared me off.
Yeah, that's a bit spendy for something like this.
But if you want to go cheaper in vinyl, the same company is also coming out with the Marvel Money. And that's M-U-N-N-Y, not M-O-N-E-Y.
So like a bunny.
Yes, like a bunny, only with an M.
These make no sense. Now, you know what these look like? Is if you've seen Galaxy Quest, those little tiny creatures that are the miners.
Totally.
Not the miners, but the miners. Rock.
You understand me now. Not minor, but yeah. Minor.
The ones that go rock, rock, rock.
Especially the Venom one. He's got the same teeth as those
he
guys.
He does, yes. It's because their ears are so low.
So these are monkey bunnies. Is that what I'm understanding?
Hell if I know. I don't know, Justin.
I don't think they're monkeys. Because they have large bulbous ears on the side, they almost look like they're just wearing earmuffs. It's like my Mighty Mugs put on earmuffs.
Oh, there's some weirdness going on here.
These are coming in two different scales.
No, three different scales. 3-inch, 4-inch, and 7-inch.
Ah, yeah, so you can get the 3-inch for $8, the 4-inch for $10, or the 7-inch for $20. But what it looks like is you get these, and they're kind of like the blank Mighty Mugs that we used to buy, and they have decal sheets, and then you deco them. So you look at the Spider-Man one, you just get a red money, and then a couple of stickers for eyes and stickers for shirt. You know how I love applying decals, Justin.
Oh, yes. So I wonder if that's, you can buy any one of them and put the decals on, or is it going to be character by character and it just comes with the decals for Spider-Man, or you buy the Wolverine and you get the decals for Wolverine? Because the body colors are all different. I don't know how they would do that otherwise.
I would guess for this first wave, that's how it would go, but then they could reuse the bodies in future waves. But we don't know the full assortment on the first wave. We see on the micros that you get Wolverine, Venom, Thor, Spider-Man, Captain America, Dr. Octopus, Hulk, and Iron Man. So none of those would have the same body color. And in the bigger ones, all we're seeing is Iron Man, Venom, Wolverine, and Spider-Man. But they do say that these monies are vinyl figures for you to design however you want. So if those labels are crooked, it's not that I'm incompetent. It's that I'm styling it how I want.
I think I'd be more interested in these if they were ready to go. I don't know how much time I want to spend putting stickers on it.
Yeah, after watching Arnie with a helicarrier and like the bomb defusing actions, I think no.
But these seem to be priced a little bit more reasonably than the Labbits.
No, it's because they're monies.
They're money and they don't even know it.
These were not blind boxed because my comic guy said he could order anyone he wanted, but they also would be cheaper if he ordered a big window display box of them. But I ended up passing on these once I saw there were decals involved.
Yay! Sensibility has prevailed.
Best not start a new vinyl collection for no good reason.
Besides, there's Bear Bricks that need my money, and that's M-O-N-E-Y. In the same previews catalog, which was very dangerous with its assortment of shirts, hats, and toys, Marjorie and I both were going through it with a Sharpie circling things.
Yes, I have a problem.
Well, the Iron Man 3 Bear Bricks are coming, and of course I have to get them in the 100% scale. Those are nice and small, but that 400% Iron Patriot, he looks cool.
Personally, I still can't get over the Bear Brick thing. I look at these and I just wish they'd be regular Kubricks.
I think they must have lost that license. They haven't made Kubricks in ages. I think Minimates or Lego or one of these other minifigure sellers.
Take a pick. Throw a dart at a board.
But they can still make them if they look like bears.
Yeah, I think I got you the last sets of the Kubricks for Christmas.
Yeah, but what's killing me is the amount of the scale. Like, they're coming out with a 1,000% Iron Man Mark 42, and I've already discussed on the show how the Mark 42, just didn't click with me. There's no way I'm going to spend $500 on a Mark 42 of any size.
Is that what it costs?
Yeah.
What is that? What does 1,000% come out to? Is that like 40 inches?
Yeah, it's about 3 feet tall.
Wow. It's a big bear brick.
I do really, though, like the 400% scale. That's right at about a foot.
That's about right.
The total price for him going on eBay right now is about $100 shipped.
That's not horrible. Still a little bit spendy. Like I said, it's got all the trappings of being almost something that I would fall for, but it's that bear head I just can't get over.
I kind of like the bear head, though.
And, I mean, I know you guys collect them across a number of different lines. And, you know, if you have others, I can see wanting them. Just for me, I wouldn't hop in with Iron Man 3 bear bricks.
It's spendy if you go, you need all of them, which is always my risk.
Yes.
Well, you could get the two that were in the movie and be done with it. You don't have to get that War Machine unpainted version. It's not canonical.
But yeah, I'm not looking at the 1,000% Mark 42, but there is a Mark 7 1,000% bear brick. Yeah, 425 is high, but...
Only get these if they're a deal.
I agree. That's why I have an eBay save search.
Yay!
350 is the price I'm going to set.
No, lower, 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 lower.
What is this? The Price is Right?
Yes.
Totally. That's what you guys need in the house. You need to put an item on the board that you want, and then Marjorie will set the price range that she's comfortable with.
And then there's a little man who climbs up the mountain. And if Arnie spends too much, he falls over.
Yep.
And finally in this catalog, I just have to bring this up. We talked about this line like 2 years ago. And do you ever just see a line continue and you kind of scratch your head and want to know who's buying it?
Yes. Quite often. Don't you, Justin?
All the time.
Yeah, okay. Yes.
It's nothing against you, dear listener, if you are the person buying this, but I really want to know who's buying Dark Horse Comics Marvel Retro statues. Because there was a Comic-Con exclusive one of those last year. These are the ones that are supposed to look antique-y, and they're about 3.5 inches or so.
And they come in those tin boxes. Is that the ones you're talking about?
Yep.
I have almost bought those for you so many times, but then, like, the last time you walked by them, you were like, yeah, no.
They're supposed to look distressed, and I saw these come out, and I just looked at them and went, I kind of like how they're going for that retro 60s look, but at $50 a piece, there is so much better I can buy with that money, I think. These are so small, and they look weathered, quote-unquote. To me, that just looks not well taken care of. I've never met anyone who bought these. When I was in the Dark Horse booth last year at Comic-Con, I saw a lot of people buying a lot of exclusives. None of what they were all wanting Domo. No one was wanting the exclusive of these. So when I saw in the Diamond catalog, these were continuing and they were on their fourth X-Man and it was Beast coming out in November. I was just kind of like, wow, they're still going.
Yeah, these fall in that like weird, almost like ornament collector or like precious memories type of collector type of realm that, yeah, I wouldn't know what to do with them unless I had a curio cabinet, which I don't.
Are you 80?
These would go well on top of doilies.
The funny thing is, Things From Another World, TFAW.com, constantly is having huge sales where they have statues just crazy cheap. I spend way too much there when they have a $300 statue for $110. And they have marked these things down deep, like that Hulk one. I mean, I love the Hulk, but I still wasn't going to pay $30 for this.
Yeah, $15 would be my top dollar. And even then, I'm not sure I'd want it.
What I've come to realize as I'm putting out my display is... It ceases to become a matter of money so much as where am I going to put it? Is it worth the cubic inches it is going to take?
Honestly, I think the tins that they come in are more displayable than the actual statues.
Yeah, because those use very retro, often Jack Kirby art from those comics. And I think they're wonderful representations. They look like they came right off the comic page and then got beat up before being sold to you.
Hand dropped one at a time.
And maybe I don't get it. You can go back into the archives because we did a whole research investigation into this line and what they are modeled after and the aesthetic Dark Horse is going for. But if you're buying these, let me know. I want to meet a collector, not to diss you, but to just see what this clicks for you.
We seek to understand your people.
Not to mock. Maybe a little mocking.
We'll be right back after this.
Tired of going to lame comic cons and sitting around with smelly, moldy comic book boxes and the odor of really creepy cosplayers? Well, you don't have to go there anymore. Connecticut Comic Con with two A's is back on August 24th, 2013 at the Marriott Hotel in Trumbull, Connecticut.
Join us at Connecticut Comic Con and be part of the coolest con in the entire Northeast.
Toys. Toys. Collectibles. Collectibles. Sci-fi. Sci-fi. Cosplay contest. Cosplay contest. All at Connecticut Comic Con. August 24th, Trumbull Marriott has an all-star lineup of comic creators. Mark Bagley, Ron Garney, Tom Palmer, Billy Tucci, Chris Giarrusso, Joe Staten, Tom DeFalco, and many more surprises. From stormtroopers to batmobiles, bat cycles to land speeders, they'll all be there at Connecticut Comic Con, August 24th, Trumbull Marriott. Looking for that rare action figure? You'll find it at Connecticut Comic Con. Looking for that comic book to complete your collection? You'll find it at Connecticut Comic Con. Want a piece of original artwork to hang on the wall? You'll find it at Connecticut Comic Con. Want to dress up and hang out with your cosplaying friends? You'll find it. Where? At Connecticut Comic Con.
Connecticut Comic Con. It is your destiny.
So join us and be part of the fun at Connecticut Comic Con, Saturday, August 24th, 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. at the Marriott Hotel in lovely Trumbull, Connecticut. More details can be found at www.comiccon.com. Join us. It's sure to be another crowd pleaser.
Connecticut Comic Con!
We have a brand new segment from our photo editor, Jeff.
We've asked Jeff to come out from the shadows and from behind his screen to help us out in an area of collecting that none of us really have too much experience in, and that's foreign and most notably Japanese toys. Like every so often, a toy pops up on our radar that none of us have ever heard of or the company who produces it. And Jeff seems to be pretty well plugged into that world. So every once in a while, Jeff's going to pop up and just what he knows about such fun stuff like Bandai and Fig Arts and all that good stuff.
Let's join Jeff for Superhero Fun Time. Yeah, yeah.
This is Jeff, your Mighty Marvelicious Toys photo editor, welcoming you to the first installment of Superhero Fun Time! Here, I'll be taking a look at Marvel toys and collectibles from around the globe. Although to start, we're going to focus mainly on Japan, since that's where most of the really cool stuff comes from. As some of you may know, on May 31st of this year, Bandai released the latest two figures in their highly successful SH Figure Arts action figure line, Iron Man Mark VI and War Machine, both as featured in 2010's Iron Man 2 movie. While this may not be of as much interest to those of you who've already bought Hasbro's 6-inch figures, well, it should be. Don't be such a xenophobe. While they are a bit pricier than something like Marvel Legends, you have to keep in mind that you are getting a superior figure in terms of engineering, paint, detail, and articulation. I don't yet have these two figures in hand, so to start off, let's take a look at the SH Figure Arts line in general. SH Figure Arts, which stands for Simple Style and Heroic Action Figure Arts, had its debut in February of 2008. The figures are usually about 5.5 inches tall, or 14 centimeters, and they're primarily designed to feature action poses in a realistic fashion. They're essentially a small model of the human body. For years, Bandai was making figures that were heavily stylized and full of accessories, but that often got in the way of the articulation and the posability. It got to the point where many figures became essentially glorified statues with very limited movement, and many of those joints were just a simple peg in a hole, without even so much as a mushroom cap to lock it into place. And many of the fully posable figures featured elaborate gimmicks like plug-on armor pieces or even full-on transformation. Unless you were a big Gundam fan, if you just wanted a straightforward, accurate figure of a character that you liked from a TV show or a movie, you were kind of limited to either the higher-end 1/6 scale figures from Medicom, or the low-end Real Hero Soft Vinyl figures, which featured all of 3 points of articulation. There just wasn't a good, solid middle ground. Rebeltech figures were certainly good, but solid? That's debatable. SH Figure Arts brought back the simple notion of an action figure just being the best action figure it could be, while at the same time maintaining the high level of manufacturing quality and detail that fans had come to expect over the years. These figures are designed to capture the full range of human body motion, and they pretty much succeed on all points. There's one notable exception, which I'll get to in a bit, but for the most part, they basically look and move like human bodies. Of course, it also helps that most of these characters are portrayed by Asian men wearing spandex. Unlike most Western figures with a lot of made-up accessories and rocket-firing cannons, the accessories included here are completely true to the character and the show that the figure comes from. There's standards such as multiple sets of differently posed hands, scaled, show-accurate weapons, right down to crazy details like interchangeable belt switches or tiny playing cards with hands specifically designed to hold those cards between the thumb and the forefinger. Construction is generally rock solid, which should be a welcome change to those of you who dislike the Reveltech figures with their kind of fragile feeling builds. Like most Marvel Legends figures nowadays, the main torso is usually a hard ABS plastic, with the head and the limbs made out of a softer but sturdy PVC. For the first few years, Figure Arts featured die-cast metal feet with ankle rockers, which helped prevent joint loosening over time, and the weight of those feet added that little extra bit of anchoring to help keep your figure standing up. And the paint applications are generally unmatched in an action figure of this scale. Bandai has an astonishing array of beautiful colors available to them, and they make full use of them, especially in the metallics. Even if you've never heard of SH Figure Arts, it's likely that you've seen them at your local Toys R Us. In 2011, Bluefin Distribution, who handles imported Bandai products in the U.S., struck a deal with Toys R Us for them to exclusively carry two figures from its Super Sentai series, Samurai Sentai Shinkenger, known here in the States as Power Rangers Samurai. Shinken Red and Shinken Gold, or Jaden the Red Ranger and Antonio the Gold Ranger, were available for $34.99 each and pretty much sat on the shelves. These figures were a hard sell to parents who only had to look a few inches over to see figures of the same character available at a third of the price. Consequently, what few figures did sell were mainly sold to Sentai and Tokusatsu fans who hadn't already imported them. But, strictly as a fan, it was pretty amazing to see these figures available in Toys R Us. They were in their original Japanese packaging, they're being offered right in your own backyard, and they were selling for about the same price you would expect to pay to import them. Speaking of price, there's a few things that you have to keep in mind when considering whether or not to buy into the line. First, things generally cost more in Japan. If you walk into a CD store to buy a new album, you're going to be paying 3,000 yen or more, which converts to about $30 and up. That's just normal retail price there. One reason is that, like Hollywood, the industry uses the profits of the successful albums to offset the costs of the niche ones, which are legion. Everything gets released on CD there. If you can hear it, it's available on a CD somewhere. Second, things are generally designed better, and they're manufactured to higher quality standards. You know how you pick through the Star Wars and Marvel figures on the pegs at Target to see which has the best paint? You remember Hasbro's Indiana Jones line from 2008, and how many dozens of indie figures you had to rummage through before you found one that didn't have Marty Feldman eyes? Well, that sort of thing is a very rare occurrence in toy lines designed to be sold in Japan. They just won't put up with that. We're a bunch of suckers. Sure, there's always going to be the occasional odd paint smear or small detail that's a hair off target, but that's to an infinitely marginal degree. For a great example of paint detail, take a look at any number of the smaller Gashapon machine trading figures, especially in their eyes. They're almost always dead on target. And as for engineering, if you've ever built a Japanese model kit, you already know what a world of difference the fit and the construction is from something offered by Revell or AMT. Third, this is probably the most important thing to keep in mind. You are heading straight down the rabbit hole. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. If you have any love of Japanese action heroes, Bandai owns your soul. And your wallet. Pay tribute regularly. There are currently nearly 200 Kamen Rider figures. Then there's about 50 Super Sentai. Then there's figures from Dragon Ball Kai, Tiger and Bunny, Garo, Metal Hero, One Piece, Sailor Moon coming later this year, Daft Punk. No, really, Daft Punk. And then there's the sister lines, like Ultra Act, which highlights Ultraman and his opponents for over 45 years. There's also SH Monster Arts, which is the line dedicated to Godzilla, and so far his 90s-era opponents. There's D-Arts, the video game line featuring Mega Man, Persona, King of Fighters, Pokemon. And then there's the web store exclusives. Do not get me started on the web store exclusives. If, however, you're only interested in the Marvel stuff, you'll probably be okay. For now. The average figure art has over 30 points of articulation, which is mostly ball and socket joints and hinge joints, but there's also some clever combinations of both that allow significantly greater ranges of motion, especially in the shoulders and the hips. This system of joints is what makes your figure able to look more like a human than like an action figure, and it's a major portion of what you're paying for. So, let's take a look at all this articulation from head to toe. I'll be using one of my favorites as an example, Kamen Rider Meteor.
Meteo, on!
Meteo, ready? Tenshin.
The head. This is a variation on a Reveltech joint, with a ball and socket on a ball and swivel joint. This connects the head to the neck, and then there's another ball and socket going from the neck to the body. These three joints allow the head to look in just about any direction, as well as convey a whole bunch of different attitudes by tilting a little or a lot. Some older figures, particularly the early Ultra Act ones, just use a simple ball and socket joint at the neck, but most figures now have the full articulation there. Shoulders. This is a little tricky to describe, but these shoulders and the hips are really the most unique aspect of the figure. A Marvel Legends figure usually uses a ball and swivel joint to allow the shoulder to rotate around as well as swivel outward, up and down. With Figuarts, the arm shoulder piece houses a hinge joint, which is then attached to a ball and socket pin, and then that ball connects to a kind of rotating cup piece in the torso's shoulder socket. What all this does is allow the shoulder to move like any other ball-jointed figure, and it can be shifted around like an actual human shoulder. Shrug them, throw them back, throw them forward, pretty much whatever you can do, your figure art can do. I've seen other figures use a swivel joint near the shoulder blades for a similar effect, but I think this method gives wider movement in all directions, and it's also a little less detracting from the sculpt. Arms. In addition to the shoulders, there's a swivel cut just below the shoulder, double-jointed elbows, and rotating ball and swivel wrists. Hands are made to be switched out by way of a simple ball and socket connection. I've never broken one of these, but this particular joint feels like it's the most fragile. So, just to be safe, be sure to hold that ball joint straight when you're attaching a new hand. Torso. I have yet to see an ab crunch on a figure art, but they almost always have an upper torso on a ball and socket joint, or on a hinge joint, or both. Then there's another connection at the waist. Having these instead of a straight swivel cut allows the body just that extra degree of motion that can change the attitude of the pose. Hips. The hips use a reversed version of the shoulder joints. The ball and socket part is in the leg itself, while the hinge is in the pelvis. You know how Marvel Universe figures generally use a straight bar going through the pelvis? And then the ball ends of that bar connect to a socket in each leg. Well, if you can imagine each half of that bar being able to move up or down independently of the other half, then you'd have a figure art's hip joint. Like the shoulder joints, this allows the legs to be posed at wider and tighter angles, just by raising or lowering the hip a little. Spider-Man crouches are really easy to accomplish, and I really love to see a figure art's version of him someday. The legs. The hip socket inside each leg is a separate piece, allowing the thigh to swivel 360 degrees. It's almost as effective as the thigh swivel cut on the more recent Marvel Legends figures like Red She-Hulk, and that's because the outer part of the hip is actually part of the thigh piece. This is the one aspect of figure art's articulation I wish they'd change. If they could just add a thigh swivel cut, you'd be able to go full McFarlane with these figures. As it is, you still have tighter degrees of the hips than most other figures, but it's only a fraction of a degree compared to something like Big Time Spider-Man. Double-jointed knees round out the leg articulation, and be sure to keep an eye out on those kneecap parts. They're uniquely sculpted to suit individual figures, and they just plug into the front of the knee joint. They're also not cemented in place, so you might want to pull them out and add a tiny drop of superglue to keep from losing them. Feet. There are two types of feet in figure arts, the earlier ones with swivel hinges and ankle rockers, and then the later ball-jointed ones. The earlier feet were made up of four pieces, all 100% die-cast metal. They had a rotating ankle, a swiveling ankle rocker, then the main foot section, and then finally a hinged toe section. I'm not a fan of painted die-cast parts, but these feet really do hold together well. I haven't had any of them loosen up or chip paint or anything. And again, there's a little bit of extra weight these feet provide to help stabilize your figures. A few years into the line, Bandai replaced these feet with ones that used a simple ball and socket joint for the ankles. They still had the hinged toe section, but now the feet were entirely plastic. After a fair amount of fan outcry, they started using an all-plastic version of the earlier four-piece die-cast feet, and that's a pretty decent compromise. The die-cast feet still show up occasionally, but they're now really only used for bulkier, heavier figures that might actually benefit from that extra weight in the feet. One more thing. If you're looking at the Enhanced podcast, you may have noticed a whole bunch of tiny little white dots all over the body of this figure. That is an incurable disease! It's figure arthritis. Cripples your wallet. No, what that is a series of tiny little drilled holes, each filled with paint. Now, on most figures, something like that would be a paint app or some guy just randomly flicking on paint with a toothbrush. Here, we've got some guy randomly drilling holes in your figure. That's way cooler! And this is why you should support SH Figure Arts. Because together, we can stop this mad driller and bring him to justice before he drills again. And you may laugh now, but someday, he may get to a figure that you know and care for. And who will be laughing then? Probably me. So that's our introduction to the wonderful world of SH Figure Arts, in color. It's really a great figure line, especially if you're into the Japanese live-action adventure shows. Next time, I'll have the actual Iron Man and War Machine figures in hand, and I'll be able to review them and tell you why you should buy them, because I like spending your money. So until next time, change Leopard on! Thanks for listening. Now back to Arnie, Marjorie, and Justin.
Thank you, Jeff. That's awesome that you're here to make me spend more money.
I have a big soft spot for Japanese collectibles anyway.
I think I'll just take my Labbit money and my money and put it towards these.
Yeah, I've looked at some of the pictures and I've even gone to some of the websites that I have to do some yen conversion and haven't quite pulled the trigger just yet, but I'm kind of getting a little itchy on it. I might. That War Machine's kind of calling my name.
And finally this week, a couple of new Blu-rays went up for order on Amazon from Marvel, and they kind of caught me by surprise because I had no idea either one was coming. First, released on Blu-ray for the very first time, officially, I think, we'll talk about it, Captain America.
Which Captain America? The movie?
Yes, the movie.
From the 80s?
Captain America from
1990. Oh... interesting.
This has a storied history of failed releases. In 90, this was meant to be a theatrical release, didn't get theatrically released. Ended up shunted to video due to some distribution problems and money problems. But it was supposed to be in theaters. I remember being in a theater and seeing like a Captain America poster with just the shield. I finally saw it on video. The movie is the movie. You could actually hear me spend an hour talking about it with Jacob and Stuart over at NowPlayingPodcast.com. We went into gory detail on the plot. It's under our Avengers Some Assembly Required retrospective series. But it came out on VHS, and then the only place you could get it was in a scalper booth at a con, bootlegged. But when Captain America the First Avenger came out, believe it or not, it got an official DVD release, but not Blu-ray, just DVD, which I bought. Bare bones disc, horrible cover art, but it was the movie. But right after I ordered it, the director, Albert Pyun, yes, he sounds like a laser gun, Pyun, released a special director's cut on Blu-ray.
Oh, brother.
I ordered it and was really shocked and saddened by what I received. The cover had quite obviously been printed on an inkjet, and not a high-quality inkjet. Autographed to my company name from Albert Pyun, because he just went with the name on the PayPal account. And it was a DVD, not a Blu-ray. And so when I emailed them, they then sent me the Blu-ray in just a clamshell case. There is no cover art, nothing. I finally found a guy online who had made his own custom cover art for this Blu-ray so I could at least put it in a Blu-ray blue case.
Is it the same art that is now on this Blu-ray?
No, it's totally different. It's something this guy put together. And it came with a commentary, but because this was burned on Albert Pune's home computer, I do believe, Hollywood is not as glamorous as it seems sometimes, folks.
I think there's probably a few hints down that road before you actually got the disc in hand, though.
Admittedly, I wasn't emailing Mr. Pune himself. I might have been emailing his assistant, so perhaps it was burned on his assistant's computer. I got a director's commentary on the DVD version on a totally separate disc, because if you've ever burned a DVD yourself, you know consumer-grade software doesn't allow for multiple audio tracks.
Was it personalized? Was he all like, so Arnie, in this scene, what I was trying to do...
No, sadly not. But while it was released by the director, and this wasn't a bootleg, I mean, somewhere he must have had the rights to do that, I would think. Maybe it was a bootleg. It looks like it looks worse than a bootleg. But it was a Blu-ray release. The quality was terrible. The inserted director's cut scenes looked like they'd been on a videotape that was put through a washing machine. But finally, it is getting an official Blu-ray release in its original, almost theatrical cut from Shout Factory. Shout Factory is actually this great company. They put out the G.I. Joe Real American Hero TV series. They load their stuff up with bonus features.
So do we know what bonus features are coming on this?
So the guys at Shout Factory sent me a copy, and it is really worth checking out if you're a fan of these more obscure movies. Again, the movie is the movie.
It's no Fantastic Four, but it's up there.
It kind of is. Let me put it to you this way. Had Arrested Development done a musical of this, it would have been equally funny.
Yes.
It has brand new interviews looking back with director Albert Pune and actor Matt Salinger, who played Captain America. And if you're wondering, yes, he is the son of J.D. Salinger.
Well, nice.
So it is the Captain America Collector's Edition Blu-ray, only $14.97 MSRP, and definitely worth checking out because God only knows when we go to the next format if this will ever see the light of day again.
It's currently available for $12.95 Amazon Prime.
And they are coming out later this summer with another Wolverine anime series. It's not going to TNT or G4 first this time, whichever station it was on, Spike. It's just going straight to DVD from Shout Factory. So they are really bringing home Marvel Entertainment for collectors who like obscurities and rarities and anime. Now, the other movie that came out was Spider-Man. And no, unfortunately, it's not one of the 1970s TV movies released on Blu-ray.
Ah, darn it.
Justin, did you ever get into the Superbit DVDs? Do you remember you'd go to Best Buy and you'd look at movies and you'd see Bad Boys for $9.99 and then you'd look one back and you'd see a silver package that said Superbit Bad Boys for $24.97?
Oh, yeah. Kind of like the Criterion Collection on Laserdisc.
Well, Criterion Collection, which also did DVDs and is now doing Blu-rays, was really all about the bonus features. They really loaded up the bonus features.
Right.
Superbit is all about the video quality. They claimed that they were using the highest bit rate possible. So if you are truly a video file snob, you will not find a better picture than on a Superbit DVD until you buy a Blu-ray. Because it's still not high def. Well, everything old is new again. Obviously, Superbit DVDs are by the wayside, and now everything is Blu-ray. But have you heard of 4K video?
I have not.
4K video is the next step of video evolution. If we go from standard definition of 480i or DVD of 480p to the various grades of high def, 720 and 1080, the next step is 4K video. And of course, this does mean new televisions, new receivers, new players. There's no discs out that will hold that much data, but it's 4,000 pixels.
Jeez.
So imagine my confusion when I see Spider-Man and The Amazing Spider-Man are coming out on 4K Blu-ray. And I'm like, what? Is there a 4K standard for Blu-ray that I missed? I'm kind of a cinephile. I try to keep up to date with this stuff. No, they're going the Superbit route. They've mastered the films in 4K. So whenever 4K comes around, they have them ready to go in 4K format, but then have put these on Blu-ray, so it's downgraded from 4K to Blu-ray to give you a, quote, near 4K experience.
We're almost there, just not quite.
At some point, you just have to say it's good enough, right?
Well, that was my question, because these 4K Blu-rays were $50 each, compared to $10 to $20 for their non-4K counterparts.
Yeah.
And they have no bonus features. They are pure movie. They're using every byte of the disc just for the movie. No commentaries, no trailers, no nothing.
See, I can't find the value in that. You know, I mean, I think DVD was pretty good looking. Blu-ray is great looking. And I don't know that we need to go any higher than that. At some point, we're going to get to technological creep where we just don't care anymore. Like, you can't pump any more resolution into a screen. And I think we're getting close to that point.
I thought the exact same thing, Justin, until I went to Best Buy's Magnolia Studio and stood in a puddle of my own drool staring at that 4K picture.
Does it look realer than real life?
It kind of did, but you had to stand right in front of it, I thought. I stood off to the side. I'm like, okay, it's just a really clear picture. You stood right in front of it. Yeah, with the TV, you have to have that. But Arnie did a little experiment.
I was curious if these 4K discs were worth $50. Now, for those of you who want to get really detailed, I'm not going to list the reference of my projector in my home theater. But Dan DiCarlo at Audio Vision Incorporated up in Michigan came and did a home theater install for me last December. I have a dedicated home theater, 7.2 surround. I'll list my projector number and my amp number and my receiver number all on our website in the show notes for those who really want to know what reference material I'm using. But I wanted to do a double blind test. And by double blind, I mean my wife and someone else.
That's double blind.
I brought them in, sat them down, and without telling them which they were seeing, I made them watch 5 scenes from Spider-Man, the Blu-ray release that came out around the time of Amazing Spider-Man for $10 on Blu-ray, available right now at Toys R Us, and the 4K Mastered Blu-ray, which had actually dropped in price to $15, which was the point at which I was willing to experiment.
And what were the results?
Inconclusive.
Like, seriously, you couldn't discern at all?
Here's the really funny thing, is my wife and her friend both did it. I started by showing them the very final web swing. This is the Sam Raimi 2002 Spider-Man. There's that great scene at the end after he goes, I'm Spider-Man, and he's swinging through the city.
Right.
Marjorie thought the 4K video was clearer. Her friend thought the regular Blu-ray was clearer. I knew which one it was. I thought there was a slight less amount of grain in the 4K video, but not that much. What Marjorie said with the 4K was it was a cleaner picture, and I think I'd agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Then I wanted to try something detailed, so we went to the scene where Peter Parker's bit with the spider. Marjorie said the DVD was cleaner. Her friend said the 4K was cleaner.
So bottom line is it's not even a difference between like 720 to 1080. Like, that is, anybody can look at those two side by side and tell you which is better. This, at best, is an incremental slight shift, if anything.
Yeah. When we did a total of 5 scenes, they did start to agree a couple of times. But it was funny how when we started, I had them write it down and they couldn't tell each other the results. And when we started saying what were the results, it was funny that the first two, they were diametrically opposed. But they did start to agree that in one case, the scene with Norman Osborn talking to himself in the mirror, they both thought the Blu-ray looked better.
Hmm.
And what they noticed was a high amount of grain that the 4K video was picking up. It was just a more staticky picture. It was a more grainy picture through the upscaling. And this is an older film. This is a semi-digital, still somewhat filmed movie. There's going to be grain in the negative. And that actually hurt that scene. But when we did the scene of Mary Jane nipping in the rain, they both thought the 4K looked better. But they both said that the raindrops stood out more in the 4K version. So, is it worth the 4K upgrade?
I kind of felt that in some scenes it was better, but in other scenes there really was no difference. And you made me choose A or B. I couldn't say they're the same. Like at the eye doctor, where if one's not really better, they move to something else. So you made me pick.
Well, yes, I didn't allow a no difference, because if you picked, you weren't just flipping a coin. There had to be something in you, in my estimation, that was making you pick one or the other. Am I wrong? Did you just go,
I did, because I felt in some of them there was no difference. There really wasn't. There was nothing that was clearer, or, you know, some of them
on some scenes that you were showing me, one part of the scene was better in one, but another part was better in another format. So it really wasn't that one was ahead. Like the balcony scene. That was one of the ones you had me watch and then determine I watched it in both formats. Both of them had their pluses and minuses, and it was really an average. I don't think it was better. Now, I think the opening credits were better, and I don't know why. They just looked more clear and crisp to me.
And the funny thing is, better is so subjective.
It is. Because how do I know that our friend that we were watching with, were his glasses working properly? Were my eyes having a good day? Was I clouded by allergies?
Well, it's also like, Justin, you said you're completely digital. Technically, MP3s are worse than CDs. They don't have the range of audio that a CD has. And there are those people who believe a CD is inferior to vinyl. But in a similar double-blind study, and this one was scientifically accurate versus me just taking two people into a dark room, not only did it show that people didn't prefer CD audio when not knowing what they were listening to, a statistically significant sample chose MP3s over CDs. So this meant that even though it's technically worse, because people maybe are used to the sound of MP3s or they like high compression or what have you, people preferred the quote-unquote worse format. When it comes to video, noise removal is so subjective. Like if you go to the Star Wars Blu-rays, I have trouble watching The Empire Strikes Back because they did so much noise removal that it looks blurry to me.
So basically, you just exercise in futility because it's subjective.
Right, and because this is remastered, in certain scenes, I think people just choose better if it's less noisy. But when you have a movie that was filmed on film, you're going to have some grain. If it's dark, you're going to have some noise. Now, each of them chose 3 times out of 5 that the 4K looked better. So it's about 0.5%. Now, I realize I am not dealing with statistical significance. I'm dealing with a sample of 2. And I myself, I went back and forth as well. I'm like, well, I kind of see the 4K looking a little better. And well, I kind of see the Blu-ray looking a little better. But I like bonus features. I like deleted scenes and commentaries. And I don't like spending double the money and getting half the benefit. So I can say, if you're a Marvel fan, again, check out my equipment. Maybe I have a 4K receiver, but of course, there is no 4K projector that I could buy for less than the price of a few cars. So I'm not working on 4K equipment, but I couldn't tell a difference. I do not think it's worth an upgrade, and I would advise our Marvelicious listeners to not bother with 4K Blu-ray. Wait for the actual 4K media or streaming or whatever it will be. I think this is a bit of a scam.
Well, that's a load off my mind.
Says he who doesn't even buy discs.
I went digital just for this very reason, because, you know, they're going to keep upping the ante every couple of years.
Well, finally this week,
this just in, news from the web!
There is another Iron Man Legend figure coming.
Starting to look like we're seeing what that third wave might be.
We had ventured a guess that maybe Ultron would be swapped out for Mandarin. But now I'm thinking Iron Man Mark 42 is going to be swapped out for Mandarin, because we are pretty sure Iron Patriot's going to be swapped out for War Machine Mark II, and now we see Ultron is going to be swapped out for Ultron.
Ultron P.O., I believe. Gold Ultron.
From the Age of Ultron comic book story going on right now. They've taken him, and they've bronzed him up, and given him a blue mouth.
Yeah, that's a neat little contrasty piece there. I think that looks kind of neat, but you know, when I first saw this, I was thinking maybe this would have been a Comic-Con exclusive. But now that, you know, we just talked about earlier, the other set that is the Comic-Con exclusive, this is looking more and more like, yep, another wave of Iron Man 3 6-inch figures coming, and quite possibly all repaints with the exception of Mandarin.
Well, when you say all repaints, that's 2 out of 3.
Okay, fine. Mostly repaints. Now, the picture that I've seen floating around shows him standing on a gold base, you know, that standard hexagonal base that came with all the Avenger 6-inch figures and some Marvel Legends. But the last wave didn't come with those stands. So that would be a new stand with this figure. And maybe that's what we're getting instead of build-a-figure pieces, is a stand.
That would be actually pretty cool to have a gold stand. And then God knows I have enough from other purchases and variants that I could make up stands for the other six.
Exactly. That just kind of stuck out to me that, you know, they had this special colored stand, meaning maybe they're not carrying forward the build-a-figure parts. That way you're not stuck with an extra torso or leg.
Well, this figure showed up on eBay, and so it will likely be showing up in stores. My guess is August-ish. I bet that this is planned for a holiday season wave of Iron Man figures, maybe to tie into the DVD release.
Yeah, and originally they said Wave 2 was August, and maybe that was the confusion, was between this wave and Wave 2, because Wave 2 came out way earlier than August.
And then finally, to close out the week, we just wanted to talk about a couple of weird things we saw. A listener wrote on our Marvelicious Facebook wall and sent Marjorie and I to Target for some nightlights.
Well, yeah, they're weird nightlights. They're kind of big. They're as big as bigger than my head. And if you remember what was funny in the 80s, it got old real quick, where people would put like the baseballs or the golf balls with a decal on their glass on their car so it looked like a golf ball smashed their window. It's the same thing, but with like Iron Man's head and Hulk's fist and Thor's hammer on your wall. And it's an LED nightlight for your kids. And the package says it's dim enough to let your child sleep, but bright enough that you can check on them without waking them up.
Huh.
Seems like it's geared towards helicopter parents.
Some of these work better than the others, you know, like the shield crashing through the wall or the hammer or Hulk's fist coming through the wall seem to work a little bit better than creepy floating heads.
I think they come with the decal that makes it look like the wall smashed. So I could see Iron Man like crashing through your wall. Like maybe he Jarvis threw him the wrong direction and he hit a wall, or maybe Spider-Man got beat up and his head went smashed through a wall. But I agree with you. Those three you mentioned work well. I'm also a little weirded out by the pictures of the kids on the back of the box.
Well, at least they got different kids for each product. I like the little Mohawk kid.
There's the Mohawk kid who I think has quite a bit of attitude.
Then the Fauxhawk kid for Thor's hammer.
The one with Cap's shield just looks too old for a nightlight.
He might have night tears.
And the one with the Hulk, I like his pose, but yeah, that Mohawk's creeping me out.
What's the little kid on the back of Iron Man doing? Like, bopping his nose? Oh, Iron Man.
Iron Man has two light-up features. If you touch the mask to turn it on, you can have just the glowing eyes, because that's not creepy. And then if you do it again, the whole mask just kind of lights up translucent-like.
Ooh, the back of that box shows that there's a Iron Man glove version as well. That one might be kind of cool.
Actually, none of these are very cool. They look exceptionally cheap. And
they look like that cheap plastic Christmas decoration like you put in your yard kind of plastic that's real flimsy.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, they had another line of these that were sports balls that look like they're cracking in. I kind of like the hockey puck because, I mean, those do damage.
Yeah, but this is like a joke from the 80s.
Yeah, yeah. I took Marjorie to Target, you know, a special date, because I certainly wasn't going to spend any money on these, but I thought these were kind of kitschy, but not for any collector or adult.
Yeah, if they're a little bit higher quality, they might make neat little collection room lights, but looking at the way they glow, like you said, the plastic looks cheap, like old Halloween masks.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it looks like.
But they'd go good in a room full of Marvel bed sheets.
Yeah, we were at Kmart doing the devil's work when we ran across some Avengers sheets. They had a sheet, comforter, pillowcases, microfiber, blankets, everything. So we bought that for our guest room, which is Marvel themed, and it's got a bunch of Marvel toys in it. Soon to have the helicarrier in there. Way to buy a special shelf for the helicarrier.
It's deep. It turns out an IKEA shelf will not handle the width of a helicarrier.
Well, better on a shelf than falling down on your TV, I suppose.
But finally, something for adults. We also, on the same day, we were looking for some travel gear. That's why we're at Kmart and a local head shop.
Well, it's the local head shop here. So we went and looked at Rock Band t-shirts. They had some Thor statues, because we walked up to this t-shirt rounder and we're like, is that Thor and Odin? And it was. It's Thor, Odin, Valkyrie, and Loki. And like, you know how the head shops always have those weird medieval crap, like the dragons and everything? It was along that same vein. It was not the Marvel correct versions.
But it was close enough to make me think that somebody saw Thor and went, yeah, I'm going to make that.
Or more, yeah, man, I'm going to make that.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. My purse still smells like incense from being in there.
They were only $65, and they were probably 10-inch statues, and they were of pretty fine sculpt and paint.
Right next to the dragons and the wolves.
Yes.
Just so we're clear on this.
They almost have like a religious vibe to them as well.
A little bit.
Yeah, I think they have the same sculpt quality as a Jesus or a Mary you'll mm-hmm. find in the Christian store.
Incidentally, the head shop has all the religious candles you could ever need also.
So did you guys buy the Stoner Thor trio?
No.
No. But I thought some people might, and that's why I bring it up, is this is obviously not a custom item to our place. They had a bunch of stuff you could buy on ThinkGeek. They were selling the melting clock and a bunch of t-shirts. It looked like they just ordered online. So if you really want a Thor statue but don't want to pay Bowen or Sideshow prices, Thor and Loki are close enough.
Yeah, I think you could get away with those two alone. But if you had just Odin, nobody would have any idea what that was.
No. Are you into knights? The one who bore no resemblance to the comic at all was Valkyrie. She was confusing. I'm like, what is that one? Oh, it says Valkyrie. But the other three with the eye patch and the horned helmet and the green cloak, there was some Marvel inspiration. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. This looks like an exercise in going right up to like a copyright line and then taking a sharp left turn.
That's what you get for using Norse mythology as comic book characters. And this is why the Hasbro toys say Marvel's Odin.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's all for this week.
We'll be back next week with probably more San Diego Comic-Con exclusives. I'm still looking at you, Kotobukiya and Gentle Giant, to see what you've got.
The other shoe is yet to drop. It's getting expensive.
Not like last year, though.
It might be.
My hotel room most likely will not be an armada of helicarriers.
We'll see what we can do to rectify that.
No, instead, it's going to have more taco trucks than an LA freeway.
So all that and more on the next Marvelicious Toys.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Marvelicious Toys. If you enjoyed this podcast, please help our show by leaving a positive review for the show on iTunes. There's even more Marvelicious content at our website, marvelicioustoys.com. At the site, you can see pictures of the products we discussed, find checklists for Marvel toys, talk and train with the Marvelicious forums, and much more. It's all at marvelicioustoys.com. We want to hear your thoughts on Marvel collectibles. You can leave reports of your latest toy finds as well as product reviews on our voicemail at 803-MARVEL-4 or email an MP3 or iPhone voice memo to show@marvelicioustoys.com. Marvelicious Toys is produced and edited by Arnie Carvalho. Marvelicious website design by Jason. Graphic design by Justin. Website photo editing by Jen and Jeff. Podcast enhancement by Andrew, Shane, Daryl, and Barrett. Announcements by Brock. The Marvelicious theme song, Bam Pow Kablam, is composed by Joe Harrison. See more of Joe's work at www.StarWarsFanWorks.com/Lion's Mouth. If you also like Star Wars, Star Wars Collecting is covered weekly at our other podcast, Star Wars Action News, which you can find at SWActionNews.com. Marvel Comics and all of the Marvel Multiverse contains are the intellectual property of Marvel Entertainment Incorporated, a subsidiary of the Walt Disney Company, and no infringement is intended. Marvelicious Toys is a Venganza Media production, copyright 2013, all rights reserved, and no part of this show may be reproduced, repurposed, or redistributed without the written permission of Venganza Media Incorporated.
Hell, any password we have from now on at Comic-Con is going to be Loki-licious. You need a prize? Come up to me and whisper Loki-licious and I'll give you whatever.
If you're a girl and whisper Loki-licious real seductively, I will give you whatever, yes.
I'm not making any promises.
That sounds like some weird fetish. Loki-licious. Yeah, so you can get the 3-inch for $8, the 4-inch for $10, or the 7-inch for $20. Marjorie, how many inches do you want to pay for?
I don't want to pay for any inches. They should just be given to me for free.
Wow.
Yeah, I want some vertical taco jokes in the bloopers.
Oh, absolutely. All of them. There's going to be like a 5-minute segment of vertical taco jokes.
Oh, God.
They can't all be jokes.
That's true. I guess I got to give it equal time.
You know, I do. And Michael Douglas does too.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
You don't want to get cancer of the vertical taco by Malthus.
Hello, I'm George Takei. Oh, I can't keep that up. Hey now.
Arnie never noticed the nipping before. I had to point it out to him. But you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, and that might have skewed your mind then, Arnie.
It wasn't me. It was your friend who never noticed.
I thought you never noticed.
I was just playing along with him.
Oh.
Of course I noticed.
How can you not notice?
I mean, she's going to put out his eye with those.
A significant...